Grace, mercy, and peace is indeed yours from God your Father and your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is the word of the Lord from the 33rd chapter of the prophet Ezekiel, just read to you. Life and death, two polar opposites, two completely incompatible states. Life, the cry of the newborn, release from prison, the cure of cancer. Death, the final breath of a loved one, the words, it's terminal. And unfortunately, body parts and debris falling from an exploded space shuttle. Yes, life and death, two earthly realities which confront us each day, and we never know exactly which one is coming next. The Lord speaks to his people through Ezekiel, his people in Babylon, in captivity, about these two realities, life and death, and he also speaks to us today. And the life and death that concern the Lord and concern Ezekiel are not just temporal life and death, but are indeed spiritual life and death, eternal life and death. For the first 32 chapters of Ezekiel, we see him as God's mouthpiece, entering and railing oracles of judgment against Israel and against the nations of the world. Death, temporal and eternal, was the judgment of God upon all nations who turn away from him. Life was the reward for all nations that would repent and return to him. And now, finally, the people of Israel, having gone through deportations and removals from Jerusalem, were perhaps finally beginning to get the point. Indeed, they were beginning to see that as unrepentant sinners, death was indeed their destiny apart from God. So the Israelites say, as is recorded in our text, these words, "Surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How can we then live?" Surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How can we then live? The Israelites were concerned about life and death. They did not want death. They wanted life, and they were desperate for life. They were desperate for a way to escape their own sins. Well, those are the Israelites. How about you? Have you really contemplated life and death yourself? Your life, your death, perhaps temporally, as we maybe all have, as we've thought, when will I die? What will be the cause of my death? Where will it occur? Who will be my survivors? But have we spent much time actually contemplating not only temporal death, but eternal death? Can you look at your lives and see the sin in them? Can you look at your lives and see original sin, actual sin, sins of omission, sins of commission? And then can you say with the people of Israel, "Surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How can we then live?" Are your sins causing you to rot? You know, there's an irony to our own sanctification. And that irony is that the greater our understanding of Christ and the gospel of Christ, and the greater our participation in the mysteries of his church, hearing the word and receiving the sacraments, the more we do that, the more clearly and completely we see our own utter sinfulness. Even our best fruits of faith, even our best good works, are tainted by our innumerable sins. We never on this earth lose the peccator, even though we are always simul justus. So indeed, you and I, with the Israelites, cry out, Lord, surely our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. We are dying. No, Lord, we're dead. How can we then live? But you see, being in this place, in this pickle, in this dead position, is exactly where our God, Lord God would have us. For then we can clearly hear other words from this same reading from Ezekiel. Listen, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Death and life, God desires life for the sinner, life for you, life for me. And that is why he has freely provided that life to you, to me, to the world, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked because it pleased him to sacrifice his perfect, sinless Son for you, for me, for the world. Jesus' incarnation, his perfect obedience of the commandments, his willing suffering, his death, brings you life, his life. Out of death, Jesus' death, comes life, life for you. Life for you who deserve death. Jesus got the death you deserve. You got the life he deserved. Apology, Article 12 of the Apology of the Augsburg Confession on Penitence cites Ezekiel 33 a number of times. In referring to these particular verses, it stresses how important it is to understand that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Apology points out that God's words in this verse are actually in the form of an oath. And the oath are in those words, as I live, declares the Lord God. As I live, declares the Lord God. Of course he lives. And so what is happening is God is swearing by himself. He is saying, this is my character. This is my being. This is what I swear to by myself, that I am a God of mercy, a God of love, a God who forgives sins. Article 12 of the Apology goes on to say these things about that oath. Quote, if anybody therefore is not sure that he is forgiven, he denies that God has sworn to the truth. A more horrible blasphemy than this cannot be imagined. Stated conversely, know that you're forgiven because it's in the very character of God who revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that we have life, not death, in Jesus Christ. Life in our baptism. Life in his inscripturated word. Life in the absolution words from our pastors. Life in his living body and blood placed into our bodies and our blood. Life which makes our dead bodies live. Life and death, polar opposites? Yes, but melded one into Christ Jesus, whose victory over death gives us life in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.